In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Several decades ago, the nation of Bangladesh was in a very dire place. It was a country that had sustained famine, economic collapse, and was nearly totally dependent on foreign aid for its day-to-day business and the feeding of its people. Many philanthropists were involved in trying to help Bangladesh. One of the most famous and earliest is George Harrison in his Concert for Bangladesh. And one of the people involved in this work was a young philanthropist who had done a lot of work in international aid and had become convinced that this was not the way forward for this small and fairly new nation. So she began giving workshops in cities and villages in Bangladesh. And in these workshops, she would ask people to close their eyes and to imagine a different kind of country. She asked them to create space in their imagination for a Bangladesh that was vibrant and thriving and sustainable. And when they had been able to fix their minds on that picture, she said, "Now go do the next thing that will help bring this about." One young man who went to this workshop and heard this said, "I know what the next thing is. I've got to bring my buddies here." So he went out and brought three of his friends to the workshop the next day. And they had the same experience. And the four of them went back to their village and they said, "We're going to make this happen. We're going to create a new reality. We're going to challenge the way we've been living up until now." You see, their village was a very poor place. What used to be fields long ago were covered with thorny brambles. And the word on the street was that the fields had been farmed so poorly and cared for in such a bad way that nothing would grow there anymore. People tried here and there to have a small little family plot. They raised a few animals and basically relied on foreign aid to continue living, even on the basic physical level. But these young men started clearing the brambles from the fields. People laughed at them. They said, "You're wasting your time." Other people thought about it and joined them and said, "Well, why not? If we're going to waste our time, let's waste it doing this." And they cleared these brambles. And they tilled the soil. And they borrowed from their neighbors, or got from their neighbors, little donations of 5 cents here, 20 cents there. This was a very poor village. And they got a couple of small manual farming tools. And they grew a crop. It turns out that the story that the soil was dead was a big fat lie. Within 2 years, this village was vibrant, thriving, and sustainable. And that never would have happened if these young men hadn't created space out of grounded optimism to challenge the big fat lies that they had been told. This is what our gospel focuses on today. Our gospel story today of Jesus feeding these 5,000 people is a picture of what happens when grounded optimism prevails over the big fat lies of empire. Now, scholars call these, what I'm calling big fat lies, scholars call these totalizing narratives of domination. I think we'll stick with big fat lies, if that's okay with you. Now, this is an important miracle here. It's the only miracle that we find in all four Gospels. And we see that it's not something brand new that Jesus is doing. In our first reading, we hear the prophet Elisha does the same thing. Right? He multiplies food or gives people this experience of God's abundance of bread. So this is a theme. This is a way of expressing what God's kingdom is. See, in the ancient world, no one doubted the possibility of miraculous power. The question was, how is this power going to be used? And then, like now, power was often not used for the best purposes. But in multiplying food and creating this experience of enough, this experience of abundance, Jesus is showing the nature of the kingdom of God, just like Elisha half a millennium before showed the nature of the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God, as we'll see, comes about today in our reading and today in our world through the same type of grounded optimism that cleared the brambles from those fields in Bangladesh. It's about creating space. Because between here is what little we have, as Andrew says, and here are 12 baskets of leftovers, one for every tribe of Israel, there's space. And in that space is Jesus. Creating this space, creating this gap for God's creative power to operate is always a subversive event. It's a space that speaks against the big fat lies of empire, no matter what that empire is. It speaks against those lies that come to us based on scarcity, urgency, and determinism. And we know this is part of what John is bringing to us in this gospel story because he mentions one of these in particular. He says, he goes to the trouble of telling us, this is almost Passover time. Passover, that great Jewish festival where the Hebrew people said no to the big fat lie of the Pharaoh. They weren't kept in slavery by chains. They were kept in slavery by the big fat lie that said, if you leave Egypt, you're going to starve. Let's remember, these people in Egypt, they were not building pyramids. They were building granaries. They were building storehouses for food. Pharaoh's big fat lie is that without me, there is only starvation. Turns out, that big fat lie wasn't true. And God provides for the people in the desert a special food, a manna, that keeps them alive, that sustains them, that helps them thrive and become a nation. And of course, in Jesus' own context and in the context of the writer of our fourth gospel, there is, of course, the Roman Empire, which had its own long list of big fat lies that it sold to the Mediterranean world. But what do we do with this today? We don't live in Pharaoh's Egypt. We don't live in the Roman Empire. We live in the 21st century. An age that flattens miracle into magic, an age of skepticism. What do we do with these stories where 5 loaves and 2 fish become food for 5,000 people? And how does any of this tie into what I'm calling the big fat lies of empire? Well, here's how I see it. The measure of the depth of our faith isn't about how apt we are to suspend our modern disbelief around what happens to 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The measure of the depth of our faith is not based on whether we accept these biblical accounts in literal or metaphorical ways. The church has and has always had room for multiple understandings of these stories. I think the great measure of our faith that we're asked to explore today in this gospel and the real challenge of this story is around what we are willing to unbelieve. Are we willing to unbelieve the big fat lies of empire that we swim in? Are we willing to unbelieve the stories that don't create space for a new creation? What is that for us? Well, that young woman who held those seminars in Bangladesh, a few decades later, she wrote a book called The Soul of Money. It's a fundraising book that has to do with the use of money and the raising of money in a sacred context. Her name is Lynn Twist. And she says that there are 3 toxic myths that rule our understanding of goods and resources, and therefore bread. The first toxic myth, she says, is that there's not enough. She says this idea leads to pursuing wealth and money based on scarcity rather than abundance. The second toxic myth is that more is better. She says this isn't necessarily true, and it simply makes us greedy and afraid. And the third toxic myth is that's just the way it is. This is a form of resignation that not only doesn't solve problems, but often compounds them. So perhaps these 3 toxic myths create together the big fat lie that we have to deal with in our world today. Certainly, these ideas are pertinent to our picture of the feeding of the 5,000. One scripture scholar tells us that this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is a miracle that directly addresses our fears of paucity and penury. The bottom line of the miracle is that there is always enough. When we have the faith to unbelieve the big fat lies, we create space where Jesus can show up. And when Jesus shows up, the big fat lies fall away, and a new creation comes in their place. It is no accident that our lectionary includes, right after the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on the water. You might have thought, the deacon should have stopped reading. Is this next week? What's going on here? No, it's part of this week. And here's why, I think. It's because we're being shown that this picture of grounded optimism builds a new creation. When Jesus walks on the water, we're reminded of the picture of Genesis, right? The first creation where God's Spirit hovers over the waters of chaos and brings about things like light and life. We see that new creation today in Jesus walking over the water. And it reminds us that this is not small stuff we're talking about. This is big stuff. Big stuff. This new creation, this open space, it opens pathways. It opens hearts. It opens the mind. This grounded optimism comes from taking a stand, not from holding a position. It comes not from looking at the circumstances, but looking at our capacity and our commitment to transform circumstances. It's the difference between Philip and Andrew in our story. Philip is lost in the circumstances. He says, 6 months' wages won't buy food for these people. You know, the next sentence, if I were Philip, would be, so how do we get out of here before they turn on us? The hero of the story today, I think, is Andrew. Because Andrew steps forward and he looks at his capacity to transform those circumstances. He says, I don't have a lot, but here's what we got. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then, just so he doesn't sound foolish, he says, but that's probably not quite enough. But even that little step forward creates space. Andrew, coming forward in grounded optimism, is the difference between that's just the way it is and 5,000 people having more than enough. It's the difference between worlds. So perhaps our story today isn't primarily about Jesus' ability to multiply bread. Perhaps it's about our potential commitment to grounded optimism. And perhaps as we come forward ourselves in just a little while to receive the manna, the miraculous bread of the Eucharist, we might ask ourselves if we have enough faith to unbelieve the big fat lies of our age and live into that grounded optimism of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, that fires up our own commitments to transform the circumstances of our world. That the miracle we read today and the banquet we celebrate in the Eucharist may become not mere objects of belief, but our job description. To free the soil in ourselves and our communities and our world from the briars of all the big fat lies. To cultivate and create space in which to plant more and more seeds of the kingdom of God. Seeds of that more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. And then we can watch the miraculous bloom all around us. Amen.